We're going to begin a new series this month called Can I Get a Witness? Because our stories and our witness matter and can change the world. It's pretty incredible when you think about it. Now, let's address the first biggest issue of evangelism or sharing our faith. Because in our current culture, it's taboo. If you want to believe what you want to believe, that's okay, but don't talk to me about it. You just keep it to yourself. And so the question might legitimately be, why should we share our faith? Why do Christians believe and why do we teach that you need to tell people about Jesus? You need to invite people to church. You need to sit with them and debate with them if they give you the opportunity, even if they're very antagonistic, even if they're angry or upset with maybe you, but more likely the belief that you have. Why would you share faith with people who seem so lost and seem so broken? Why would you bring those people into your church and into your community? Because they might cause a lot of heartache and a lot of pain and a lot of trouble and it'd be a lot easier if we didn't have to deal with them. Why would we share our faith with this world that is so broken, so bruised, and so messed up that we know needs Jesus? Why would we do that? I could ask, and maybe you would have all kinds of questions or different answers for this, but I think primarily the number one reason why Christians should share their faith, must share their faith, is because, and this is the most important, Jesus told you to. When Jesus left in Matthew chapter 28, his poor disciples were standing on the ground, and Jesus is talking to them, and he leaves. And the last thing that he says to his disciples as he's descending into heaven, and his disciples are probably so confused because they haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. Jesus died. That was traumatic. Then Jesus rose from the dead. That was incredible and amazing and powerful. Then they watched Jesus do some incredible things, and he walked among people, and he was with them for an X number of days. I mean, they were excited. They were pumped. Jesus was dead. Now Jesus is alive, and now Jesus is leaving us? Like, what is going on here? And these are his final words. Matthew chapter 28, verse 17 and 18 and following, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The reason why we should share our faith, why we must share our faith, is because Jesus told us to. Jesus told us to proclaim his word. Jesus told us to proclaim his death and his resurrection, and then not just to say it, but then work with people and disciple them and baptize them and point them and let them grow in their faith. Because that's what had happened with Jesus' disciples. He had spent 3 years with them, pouring in all of himself, teaching them and hanging out with them and being with them, and he says, "Okay, I'm out of here. Now you do the same thing. You tell them who I am. You tell them what I did. You tell them that I love them. You tell them that I died for their sins. And then you disciple them. You come alongside of them and you teach them just like I taught you to obey my commands and to follow me." That's why we're going to spend the next number of weeks looking at how we can share our faith and what it means in a world that so desperately needs Christians who have this conviction and this passion that when we have the opportunity, when we have the right moments, when we have the giftings that God has given us to use them to reach out to people and to share our faith and to point them to Jesus, as we saw this morning. If you'd like to follow along this morning, our text is found in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 10, if you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read from verses 5 and 15. And this is the text that we're going to look at today that's going to give us some pointers or some principles that help us. How can we be witnesses in this world around us? Now, the book of Romans is one of those books that's, if you're brand new in Christian faith or if you've never read the Bible before, Probably don't start in Romans. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And then once you come to faith and you start, ball starts rolling. I mean, everybody's different. If you're, you know, you want to be challenged and you can read the book of Romans, but there's a lot of words and a lot of Christian terms in the book of Romans that can kind of stumble us up sometimes. So we're going to walk through this and we're going to kind of explain it and pull it apart because the principles in here help us with life and help us with proclaiming Jesus. So in Romans chapter 10, verses 5 and following, this is what it says. Moses writes about the righteousness that is by the law. Righteousness is goodness, and Moses is the Old Testament, and the law is the commands that God gave his people that they were supposed to live out in order to be right, in order to be different from the nations in the world around them. For the Israelites, for this, the person who does these will live by them. But the righteous that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend down into heaven, that is, to Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. So this word that Paul is talking about here is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that he has shared with the Christians in Rome and all over the Roman Empire at that point, this is the word that Jesus is talking about, or that Paul is talking about. And the descending into hell and the going into heaven, this is the same thing as the acts that Jesus did. It tells us when he was on the cross, he descended into hell and released the captives. And then as we just read, when Jesus was done ministering on this earth, he left and sits on the throne in heaven again right now. So this is some of the stuff that's going on. But the word of God, Jesus himself, his Holy Spirit, was left for his disciples that you and I have access to today. The word is in your heart, it is in you, it is in your mouth, it is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Verse 9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you need a text you want to share with somebody someday because they don't know how to become a Christian, you're like, I don't know how you become a Christian, or I'm not sure, this is one of those texts. You declare it and you believe it. And from that moment on, you become a believer, follower of Jesus Christ. As Scripture says, verse 11, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have believed in? So remember, Jesus told us to go share faith. Listen to what Paul says. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So in all these words, you might have to read it 5 or 6 times in your devotions this week to kind of let it permeate your heart. But here's a couple of principles on how we can be a witness today in our culture, in our day and age. First principle is to live an obedient life. If you talk about Jesus all the time and you share Jesus all the time, awesome. That's amazing. Keep it up. But if you just talk and you don't walk, everybody knows. Everybody knows. Now, that does not mean you or I need to be perfect. We are far from perfect, and I don't care how many decades you've been in church, how great a person you think you are, none of us are perfect, and we all make mistakes. We all have our hiccups. We all have our good days. We all have our bad days. We're all human beings, and it's not an excuse, but we are human beings, and so when we mess up and when we do things improperly or we don't be a good example or witness or we don't follow God's laws, then we're to repent and we're to ask for forgiveness and we're to make it right with those around us. But the first step that Paul teaches here is be obedient. Live an obedient life. Follow him. The world has a sense for fakeness, doesn't it? I came across this illustration this week. I don't know. How many people like truffles? Oh, good. The rest of you are lying. No. truffles, they're amazing. You go to Rocky Mountain Road now. I think they're about $4 a piece or something stupid like that. It's insane. But they're good. But they're not real truffles. Did you know that? No, that's right. A real truffle is a mushroom. And no matter how hard they try, they cannot duplicate, apparently, the real thing. And the real thing is the most expensive food that we have. because what you have to do, apparently, is they have to take dogs, and dogs smell out these mushrooms or these fungi, and then they find them and they harvest them, and they're only good for a very short period of time. You have to eat them the moment you get them out of the ground or something like that. And people pay like obscene, stupid amounts. One person paid $330,000 for a 3-pound truffle. They got more money than brains, I think, but anyways, or they must really, really like truffles. But 330, that's $100,000 a pound. $100,000 a pound for truffles. Now, because they're worth so much money, guess what companies have tried to do? They've tried to duplicate it, right? And there's something, you might have even seen this, there's something that they came up with, the company came up with something called truffle oil. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Truffle oil does not even, doesn't contain any traces or amounts of truffle at all. It's olive oil mixed with some diapentane, if you're a chemist, a compound that makes up part of the smell of truffles and is associated with a laboratory in California. The food is made with local and organic ingredients. Essentially, the truffle oil is olive oil plus truffle's disconcerting smell made from a chemical. Despite truffle oil's poor source, though, has been used and praised by both average Joes and renowned chefs. Truffle oil has been a remarkably successful con because it's actually nothing to do with truffles other than the smell made from a chemical. It's fake. Now, you and I as Christians, people know when we're fake. It's that famous word that gets used all the time, right? Hypocrisy. When you claim to believe one thing, claim to follow Jesus, but live something different. And you know, if you've been a Christian for a while, the world hates hypocrisy. And it's the number one accusation often that gets leveled at the church. And unfortunately, over the last 60, 70 years, with Victorianism and all the stuff that's gone through the church, in many sad instances, the church is actually very guilty of hypocrisy, where we have held up morals and standards of living and values, some of them not even in Scripture, at the expense of relationships and love and grace and compassion for those that need it. It's amazing that that young lady that we saw the testimony today could walk into church and be accepted as a mother out of wedlock. But 40 years ago in a church, that might not have been the case in many churches. And so there is this hypocrisy that exists and has existed in the church. And Jesus says, not only to share our faith, but be obedient and to follow and obey the commands that I have given you. Paul says the same thing. Deuteronomy in Chapter 5, verse 33, walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. In Psalm 128, verse 1, blessed are those who fear the Lord and who walk in obedience. And there are so many of them. Go to BibleGateway.com and type in obedience, and the Bible is full of them. Pages and pages and pages and pages and pages. Obedience, living out our faith in action, is so important. And it's not always just in the negatives. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But God tells us to do a lot of things too. To look after the orphans and the widows and the poor and the homeless, to share our resources, our time, our energy, our money. Those are just as important as the don'ts. And people know that, who don't even know Jesus. If you're not generous with your time or your faith or your resources, people around you know that. And when Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, gave up everything to die for your sins and my sins so that we could have a relationship with him and know him, and boy, we better be the most generous people in the world. It's how we live out our faith, by being obedient to him. Second, Paul says, is we can be a witness not only by living an obedient life, but also through trust, through faith, through belief. It tells us here in verse 11, as Scripture says, anyone who believes the word here also could be translated trust, in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is all richly blesses those who call on him. To believe, to trust. And this is going to become more relevant in our society, the more difficult it becomes to be a Christian. Because let's face it, 50 years ago when everything was Christian, it was a little bit easy to be Christian. You go to church and nobody cared, nobody made fun of you. It was just part of the culture. It's not like that anymore, is it? We're facing opposition. YFC and one of the other churches in town. The student on the council in Comox are trying to take away their tax exemptions as organizations because of their stance on sexuality. It's becoming increasingly more difficult to be a Christian in this day and age. And when this happens, when we find ourselves in darkness, when we find ourselves in a world that's falling and spiraling out of control and being more antagonistic and targeting us more, what are we to do? We're to continue to live an obedient life. We're to continue to follow Jesus Christ, but we're also told to trust and believe in him. And this is when our faith becomes really practical. Because you have to trust that God knows best. When you look at the world around us this week, whether it's Ukraine or Israel or all the other things that are going on in our nation personally or in your own life, this week there's been people in our congregation that are in the hospital, people that are wrestling with sickness. There's so many things going on. And when life gets tough and we find ourselves in the valley, in the poem that we heard this morning, we are to trust and believe that Jesus will actually pick us up and carry us through these difficult times. It's amazing. There's a new program at the Walter Reed Memorial Center trying to help wounded soldiers recovering from incredible losses that they've experienced in war. Battlefield medicine has gotten better and better over the years, but it also means that the people they're saving are increasingly injured. So something that you might have died if you had an injury years ago, you might have died from an infection or something, because medicine is getting so well and so good, means you actually survive, but that means that you have disabilities for the rest of your life. Some of these injured soldiers are finding healing through a community based on music. For instance, recently a band of wounded soldiers performing in Madison Square in a concert called Stand Up for Heroes performed. The vocalist of the band was Marine Captain Tim Donnelly, who lost both of his legs and the use of his right arm in a roadside bomb in Afghanistan. Even though he can't walk or salute or shake someone's hands, he's grateful to be part of the group where his singing voice is valued. His signature song has become Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. The lyrics of this song are hauntingly honest. It's not a cry you can hear at night. It's not somebody who has seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Donnelly told a reporter, "I thought I understood this song, but the next thing you know, my whole life is coming down around my ears. Every dream, every hope that I've ever had for the future is broken around me, and I don't know where to turn. And I finally turned to God, and I heard him say, 'Do you still trust me? Do you still believe that I have what's best for you?' And it was in that moment that I understood, hallelujah. I may be more whole than I am now than I have ever been in my life, even though I have no legs and arm." Isn't that incredible? That's trust and belief in God, even though you're confined to a wheelchair and to that life. Live an obedient life. Trust in the Lord. And lastly, this is the most obvious one. And this is the one that we're going to talk about over and over again. But he says, how can they hear if somebody doesn't tell them? It's a legitimate question. Guess what? When you become a Christian, you decide to follow Jesus Christ, you now take on a responsibility. Because we're followers of Jesus, because we're called to live obedient lives, that means we are to do what he asks us to do. And not just what Jesus asks us to do, but what the Father asks us to do throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there's a lot that God asks us to do. But one of the key things that you'll see that comes up over and over again is that we are called to proclaim God's word, to proclaim his character, to proclaim his goodness, to tell others what Jesus has done. And sometimes that can be as a preacher who's up preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, but more often, it's not about me up here on a pulpit telling people how to become Christians or preaching out of the Bible. I mean, that's important, and that's why we preach out of the Bible. But more often, it's in those little relationships and those day-to-day activities and those people that you bump into in your life. Sometimes they're family members. Sometimes they're people in the grocery store. Sometimes they're people in your school. Sometimes they're people that you just driving down the road, walking down the road, you're at the Seal Bay walking your dog and you strike up a conversation with somebody, and maybe or maybe not, there's an opportunity. You listen to God's voice as he gives you those chances and those opportunities. But we are called to tell others about Jesus Christ, about his word, about the good news. I love this. Listen to this. In her book, Openness Unhindered, Rosaria Butterfield writes about a robbery that occurred in her home. The thieves took her mother's precious jewelry, beat the family dog, and ransacked the house. What a great experience, right? Rosaria writes, "We were all in a state of shock. My children's anxiety rocketed through the roof. Not one of us felt okay for months. It was hard to be robbed. It was scary. It's hard to have God test so powerfully and privately what we proclaim publicly. That even if you are hurt, people can't take the things that matter most, and that they will survive somehow in the new heavens and the new earth. Your soul and your gut-wrenching." But after experiencing the profound support of their church family, Rosia writes about the strength that her family had to reach out after the robbery. So they're full of anxiety, they're full of stress, they've gone through this traumatic experience, and this is what they did. I love this. The day after they were robbed, Kent, the husband, pushed the grill to the front yard where the picnic table was already waiting. Then he posted three things on the neighborhood email list. "We were robbed, robbers took stuff, but nothing of eternal value. The word of God and lives of souls are more in people, and we would love for everyone to join us for burgers and hot dogs on Sunday, the Lord's Day, starting at 3 o'clock, the Lord's Day with Mother's Day, and my husband just invited 300 people to our front yard." Isn't that nuts? Like, you want to have a bad day? That's a bad day for most people. Your mother's jewelry's gone. It's been in the family for generations. Your house is broken into. Your poor dog was beaten up. I mean, that's a bad day. Now, there's a lot of worse days, particularly if we looked at the news and what's going on in the world around us this week and in different people's lives. But we have bad days. And what do you do when you have a bad day? They threw a party to tell people about Jesus and to live out their faith in a very practical way. It's amazing. It's incredible. So we proclaim, we tell people about Jesus. We tell them through our lives of obedience, through our trust and belief in God, and then actually through our words. We will need to speak sometimes. And I know if you're an introvert, that's a big ask. It's a really big ask. You want me to say something? Now, some of us, myself and my family, we're all extroverts. So it's not very hard. And I know some of you in this room are extroverts, but I also know some of you are introverts. So it's going to be a little bit harder for you. But this, Paul says, how will they know? How will they know if you and I don't speak? Sharing our faith, being a witness is so important. And sometimes it's not giving the gospel and calling out Romans chapter 5 and saying, if all believe in your heart, give it. No. Sometimes it's just sharing what Jesus, and this is what we're going to see over the next coming weeks, what Jesus has done in your life. Now you may say, well, I wasn't pregnant. I don't have like a big, you know, sob story and my world falling apart. You know, I grew up in the church. My testimony is not that like exciting. But as somebody who doesn't know Jesus, as somebody who's never heard the good news, when you tell them what he's done in your life, and sometimes it is how you became a Christian, sometimes it's what happened to you this week. Yeah, I was having a real bad day, but somebody did this for me, and Jesus provided, and Jesus gave me grace. And it was awesome. You should have seen what happened. Like, I didn't know where the next check was going to come. Something crazy happened. I had this big payment. I had no money. And then this came, and somebody provided, and somebody helped out. And like, wow, God is so awesome. He looked after me. And the people are going, are you nuts? Like, what's wrong with you? That's okay. That's a witness. Sometimes it is the healing. Sometimes it is the prompting. Sometimes it is God's. You know, I just felt so disconnected from God. I haven't heard his voice for so long. You hear God's voice? Yeah, because he talks to me through his word, and he loves me, and he tells me things. And boy, you're really, yeah, I know, but it does really happen. You should try it. Read God's Bible. He'll speak to you. Most people are going to think you're insane. But that's okay. Because he does speak. He does talk. And he talks directly to individuals, but he also talks through you and me and through our witness and through our testimony and through our stories and what God is doing in your everyday life. And it doesn't have to be, I was a drunken alcoholic, not whatever. They can be the little things. They can have a huge impact because people start thinking, there's that nutty Christian again who's giving God credit for this, even though things are going wrong, or even though things are great. And when things are great, they are pointing back to Jesus. And they go to church, and they go to the outreaches, and they do crazy things. Like, they go to the fall fair, and they hand out flyers and tell people about Jesus and invite them to church. Like, these people are cuckoo. That's great. That's what they need to see. That's what they need to hear. And even when you get rejected over and over and over and over and over again, you're planting seeds and you're letting people know about Jesus Christ. And we don't know when those seeds will pop, start to grow, and which ones won't. We are just called to be a witness, to share Jesus Christ through an obedient life, through belief and trust in him, and by speaking and testifying and being a witness of what Jesus is doing. Let's pray. Maybe you're listening online this morning, or you're here and you don't know Jesus. You've never had an encounter with him. You've never invited your life or given your life to him. You've never invited him into your life. You've never confessed with your mouth. You've never believed that Jesus is Lord, as we've heard this morning. And maybe you're from a messed up background and you're like we saw this morning, how could God, why would God ever love me? And the good news is that he does. And he went to a cross because he loved you so much. He died. So your sin, your evil, your wickedness, the thoughts that you have that separate you from him are washed clean. You're forgiven. Believe and confess with your heart and your mouth, and you will become a Christian and a follower of Jesus. For the rest of us, God, as we look at the world around us this week, help us to be attentive to the opportunities where we can be your hands and feet, where we can live those lives of obedience and trust, but also to speak with words what you're calling us to speak, whether it's about inviting somebody to church or inviting somebody into our home or a party or a celebration or a conversation or a coffee or whatever it is, Jesus, as we listen to you, rise up that calling within our hearts and our lives to share that faith, to share the good news with those around us that we come in contact with, so that the world will know that you are Lord and sovereign, even when things seem to be falling apart. For these things we pray in your most holy and precious name, Jesus.